Welcome to Don't Panic Steve, the podcast that's all about panic attacks, with me, Claire Easton, best-selling author and award-winning mental health blogger, and my mate Chris.
Just the usual disclaimer before we start, in no way is this podcast taking the piss out of mental illness. It's something I live with and take very seriously, but I do very much value humour. All right.
All right. How's it going?
Oh, yeah, good. It's because you've been here for about 10 minutes. When I actually do say it, I was like, all right, it feels weird.
Yeah, we've got to start again, like, pretend that we've not spoken.
How was your week?
Yeah, it's been good. Yeah, been to Gulliver's World since I last saw you.
Seriously? Yeah. Is that still going?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's funny you should say that, because my kind of impression of the place is that it surprised itself that it's still going.
Why do all the staff look really grateful?
Yeah, yeah, there's surprisingly few people there for somewhere that has been open for such a long time. Mm. And I went a couple of years ago and it hasn't changed in the slightest.
Is there still the big exhibit that's Gulliver lay down being tied up?
Gulliver what?
Is that the story? He's a giant and he fell asleep and he gets tied up by little people.
That doesn't sound like a story that's suitable for children. But
I thought that was the story.
Maybe it is. I'm not sure. Really,
well, who's Gulliver then?
I'm not sure.
It must be him. Otherwise, who deserves to have a, you know, I mean, Camelot?
It's not a common name, is it, Gulliver? So I don't think, it's probably not another Gulliver that you're thinking of.
Do you remember Camelot?
Oh yeah, Camelot.
That was really good.
Did you go there at school?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Probably the same, because we went to the same school. Yeah. No, it was a primary school one, wasn't it? Or was it not?
I went when I was year seven, I think. We won the form competition in year seven.
See, so did we. But we went to Blackpool.
Yeah, and yet we weren't in the same form.
No. We went to Blackpool.
Yes, no, you're right.
Yeah,
I think it might have been year eight.
Yeah, it was. And we did. We won the form competition, went to Blackpool.
Yeah. There you go. We must have just won it every year.
I went to Blackpool. Christ, when was the last time I was there? October, I think. And that's not changed a bit.
No.
Everything's really unsafe and made of wood. Nobody has a full set of teeth.
Yeah, I don't think Blackpool's changed since about 1972, has it?
Have you been on the... my mate described it perfectly. She said, you know, you get on a horse and it goes on a roller coaster. Yeah, that's pretty
steeplechase.
Yes, yes!
Where did that word come from?
Whose idea was that? What we're going to do, yeah, we're going to put a racehorse on a roller coaster track. Don't worry about the seatbelts.
I think I've been on that with you, actually.
Probably. I do make people go on it because I just think it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, and you do feel like you're going to fall off at any moment.
You
and from recollection, it's quite a long drop down as well.
It is, and it's now, after, don't hold me to this, but I think after numerous incidents, there is clippable seatbelts now.
Right.
Because when I originally used to go on it, it was like, hold on to this for dear life.
Yeah, that isn't safe. Not in the current climate, after the Alton Towers thing.
I remember going with my brother when I was like in my early 20s, and just before we went on the Big Dipper, the blokes changed out the track by hand and it would, and they just slid it out like, just 1 second, love. I was like, oh, Jesus.
You still go on it?
Yeah, of course, we queued up. Like, you know, that stubbornness of, I may die, but I've been queuing for 30 minutes.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. Anything over 20 minutes and, yeah, it's worth death, isn't it?
So you went to Gulliver's
World. Gulliver's World, yeah.
That's pretty cool. What did I do this week? I'll tell you what I did on Saturday. I did a half marathon.
Oh, well done.
With my mum. With Heineken, like, not literally drinking. I don't like beer.
That would make it more fun.
No, I did it in the Cotswolds. It's called Race to the Tower. It took Mum and I 6.5 hours.
Right.
It's a long time.
It's quicker than I've ever done a half marathon. So.
And the thing is, it wasn't just a straight course. It was like up and down hills, and I mean proper, like rocky. Yeah. My mum, who doesn't normally swear, swore a lot. But we did it. I was really proud of us.
Yeah, brilliant. Well done.
I think we only had 4 breakdowns between us. That's pretty good for us.
Was it a charity thing?
Yeah, it was for a few charities. Help for Heroes, Mind. One for Parkinson's. And I can't remember the other one, but they're all really, really worthy. And I just remember the Naked Professors were there. Have you ever heard of them?
No.
They're what you would call professional podcasters.
Oh, right,
like,
okay.
Proper...
Why are we not professional podcasters now?
I like to think
episode 3, this.
I like to think of us with flirting with podcasting.
Yeah, dabbling.
Yeah, that's the one.
Dipping our toe into the podcast waters.
There you go. Yeah, so they're proper, and they do it in a studio and all that stuff. And so I know who they are, and I've kind of met them before. They definitely won't remember. Anyway, they were at this. They were there, and my mum was like, "Do you want to go over and say hello?" I was like, "Absolutely not. Like, I am the worst. Even when it's for my own benefit, networking. Like, just go and say hello." I was like, "I can't. I'm getting ready to do a half marathon. I'm really stressed. I just want to be in the zone. The last thing I want to do is go over and say, oh, how are you?" And I'm like, "No."
Yeah, they're not going to get the best impression of you.
No, I'll be like, "Hi, I'm here because I feel like I should be. Do you remember me?"
Do you get starstruck easily?
Because
you've met a few celebs in your time now, haven't you?
I do get starstruck, but I don't behave in the way that you'd expect. You know, right. People go like, "Oh my God, I love you," and get really kind of emotional, and I get really aggressive.
Right.
Not me, it's not like punching them. But I say something that I think is funny and it comes out really like standoffish.
Yeah, really blunt.
Kind of. When I met Alexa Chung, we were having a picture taken and I went, "Don't worry, I won't touch you." Because in my head, I thought, "Oh, you're so famous, don't worry, I won't try."
Yeah.
But then it was like, oh, Jesus. It was, and I just recently interviewed Rachel Fairbairn of All Killer No Filler podcast. And the first thing I said to her was, "If I seem nervous, it's because I am." And in my head, it sounded really cute. I just sounded really put out. For fuck's sake.
Well, I once met Luke from Big Brother. He must have been... What year would he been in? Like 2006, 2007 or something. And yeah, and I was incredibly starstruck. I didn't even like him on the show. And
did you lead with that? Luke
no.
wasn't a fan.
No, I didn't mention that. But yeah, it was surprising. I didn't expect that I would be starstruck by Luke from Big Brother.
What did you do?
Well, we ended up having a night out, so it went all right in the end.
Oh, but... you did, didn't you? Yeah. Dutch courage, man. Oh. Anyway, we should probably start the podcast.
Should probably talk about something relevant.
I mean, it is kind of relevant, because this week the topic is about vulnerability. And I suppose... starstruck, can I link that in? Crowbar that in? Maybe. To start off with, I think, you know, when you think of vulnerability, being vulnerable, we think of children or young animals of the sort. You don't really think of it as an adult. And nothing makes an adult or anybody really feel more vulnerable than fear. And that's why it's kind of really links back into panic attacks, because that strips everything back when you feel that your defences have gone and you're terrified. Now, as a knee-jerk reaction, and I'm doing it, if I sound like I'm throwing my voice, it's because I have to read my notes. Because sometimes I have a great idea and then I'm like, write that down, and then I don't. And then after the podcast, I'm like, oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, so when she sounds like this, she's reading the notes.
No, I'll just move them. But as a knee-jerk reaction, for me... vulnerability as a concept is really difficult to embrace, because to remind everybody, I live with social anxiety, which means I'm not comfortable with people seeing the real me. Hmm. Even sometimes people who I've known most of my life, like when we first, anytime I see a friend who I haven't seen in a while, I'm weird for the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Because I kind of go on the, not the offensive, but I'm like, oh, try and be as appealing to them as you can be. Rather than who you are.
Yeah. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but I can imagine if you're growing up with that sort of feeling of sort of social anxiety and things, you probably try and hide that as best you can. So you're never truly yourself, and that probably becomes a habit as you get older.
No, it's absolutely true. And it can be quite tragic if you don't recognise it, and it's an easy kind of habit to slip back into. My therapist used to call it comedy Claire mode. Which I go into kind of bells and whistles, entertaining, trying to make the person laugh so much so that they don't look at me or ask me any questions.
Yeah.
It's why I'm so hilarious. Why we're such good friends, because I'm just, you know. Yeah, the idea of other people seeing me can sometimes be absolutely horrific. And yet, to counter that, because I was really thinking about it earlier, I'm at my most creative when I allow myself to be vulnerable. Right, when you think about everything I've written about, that's, you can't really get more vulnerable than
No, you really can't.
Have a look inside my brain and switch the light on. That's really vulnerable. And I think some of the strongest connections I've made in my life are the people who have allowed myself to be vulnerable in front of. And I don't think that's unique to me.
Yeah, I think that's true of human beings in general.
Yeah.
I think we need that connection, don't we?
The kind of, I'm not all right either.
Yeah, none of us are okay.
That'd be a really good car bonnet slogan, wouldn't it? Car bonnet slogan. Isn't that what you put?
It could be a new invention.
God. Yeah, nobody's okay. Where am I going with this? Yeah, that was it, really. It's never straightforward, is it? I think it's quite an interesting kind of double-edged sword that, like, I don't like it, but when I do allow myself to be vulnerable, all this amazing stuff comes out.
Yeah. Yeah, you've done pretty well with it.
But I did ask you to do some reading this week, and I asked you earlier, and I felt a little bit like a university tutor. Like, have you done the reading?
And what did I say?
You said you'd read it several times.
Yep, 3 times, to be precise.
So I was really impressed. So what have you found out about vulnerability, then?
What I took from the reading was that, essentially, I would say, in particular in Britain, we're kind of brought up with the mantra that, you know, we kind of... What am I looking for?
I love this game. I'm actually really good at it. The mantra that
the saying that you quite often get on like cards and
like motto
and bonnet stickers.
And bonnet stickers. Slogans. Yeah, ideal. I don't know what you mean.
What am I thinking of? This can be edited out, this bit.
Definitely not. I love this game. So we're brought up with this. It's an ideal, isn't it? It's a belief.
Yeah, it's going to annoy me. I'm going to have to look it up.
All right, just you're going to have to edit this bit out. This.
No, it's going to really annoy me because it's something really obvious. You see it everywhere. Like,
okay.
Keep calm.
Oh, literally, I thought you meant like as a kind of an adjective for it.
Yeah, no, I wasn't explaining it very well. Yeah, so
keep calm and carry on.
Yeah, so I'll start again. I think in Britain in particular, the slogan keep calm is very popular for a reason. Mm. Keep calm, carry on. So it's a kind of, we've taught to, as children to hide our vulnerabilities.
Is that from the war? Am I just being an idiot? Keep calm and carry on.
I think so, yeah.
Find out.
Yeah. And now it's on every mug and every bonnet sticker going. Yeah. Yeah, so I think we're taught from a young age that, you know, vulnerability, like, it's okay to show as a child, but as you get older, you're supposed to sort of push it to the back and not make people feel awkward by bringing it up. Keep calm and carry on kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what the main message I took from that.
No, I'd agree with that, because another thing that I find interesting about vulnerability, I don't know if you agree, is we do suppress our emotions in a way that children don't.
Yeah.
Particularly, not unflattering one, that's the wrong word. I'm struggling for words tonight. Negative ones.
Yeah.
Such as rage or fear or jealousy or sadness. We think, I don't want that.
Yeah.
No, thank you, not today. And we suppress it. And rather than allowing ourselves to be vulnerable and accept those emotions and let them channel, you know, flow through us, we suppress them, drugs, TV, food. I think I read that we're one of the highest medicated societies ever.
Right.
And I was like, that's really interesting.
I think that links in with kind of what I was saying. I think it's the culture of this country doesn't help, because it's that culture of, you know, just carry on, you know, blitz mentality, whatever the saying is.
Yeah. It's more like keep calm, put the kettle on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Have a biscuit. Actually, I sometimes think, you know what? Some of my breakdowns can be stopped with, do you know what, hobnob and a brew? I'm like, oh, go on then, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds epic.
It is surprising what can be solved by a hot drink in this country.
I think also it's the social aspect of it as well, you know, just like, what is it? I'll put the kettle on, tell me what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose that it's not the tea, is it? It's what that means,
tea,
what that brings.
Sympathy.
Yeah.
I do love that. Every time in my grandma's house, it's like, oh God, I've had a day. I'll set the kettle on.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So I think it's like association.
Yeah.
I wonder if the tea helped during the war.
Oh, I bet it did. If it was available.
See, I'm more of a coffee drinker, which I shouldn't be because I have anxiety, and it's one of the first things I tell people is don't drink coffee.
Yeah.
Although I'm much better.
While you're sipping on an Americano.
Yeah, on a double espresso. No, I'm much better at it now. You used to be a massive coffee drinker.
Yeah, I love a coffee. Every morning I get my filter coffee machine on.
Oh, you do, don't you? Yeah. You have one of them, nice.
Essential, 15 quid from Tesco. Bargain.
When I was in the US earlier this year, there was like a diner and they had those like, you know, when they refill black coffee.
Yeah.
You like in the films.
Yeah.
And I've always thought it was really glamorous. I don't know. I'm like, oh my God. Yes, I like another. I try and drink it as fast as I can so she'll top it up. Have the shakes for the rest of the day. Do you know what? That's a lot. Come back to me quickly. I remember you spitting coffee out because it was too hot.
Oh, yeah. You had to bring this story on a podcast, didn't you?
Because it does happen to me. I've got a very sensitive reaction to things, and heat is one. Like, in the past, I've embarrassed myself when I'll take a sip and go,
yeah,
and, like, physically jerk, but you kind of beat me out on that.
Yes. Yeah. I was putting it, I think it was my first few weeks at university, mm-hmm. put me in a group to do some group work. And believe it or not,
shocking that.
And yeah, went to the library, and they had like a coffee shop type thing outside. Ordered an Americano. I'd never ordered anything other than just a coffee before, so I didn't really know what it meant. And took quite a big sip out of the the top of it, and yeah, it scalded my mouth, and I spat it everywhere. So yeah, didn't get off to the best start with that group.
Imagine you're going like, oh, hello everybody, I'm Chris Scott. Actually, no, why would you be speaking with your mouth full? Ignore that. Yeah. But there you go, that's vulnerable. You didn't swallow the hot coffee.
Well, I don't think my reflexes would have allowed me to do it, to be honest. Even if I wanted to.
Well, this kind of leads into the story for the week. As I've said, they're not going to be chronological. This one actually happened recently. At Salford University, the university I did my BA at. And that's where you did yours. At
the university I spat my coffee out at.
Yeah, I'll talk about that for a link. I have a real problem with perfectionism. It's a big part of my anxiety, which isn't new. You know, lots of people with anxiety have that. What I mean by perfection for me is, I've got better in terms of my appearance, but I used to be obsessed. If a hair was out of place, I would fix it immediately. I was always looking in the mirror. People would think, God, she's vain. I'm like, really, really not. I'm paranoid. Work in particular is the area where everything has to be in order. Everything has to be excellent. That's why I really struggle sometimes to publish blog posts. And if a word is wrong, because bear in mind, I don't have an editor.
Yeah.
I think about it for the rest of the day. And rather than, that's annoying. I'm like, you absolutely fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Somebody else would have got that right. So yeah, that's part of one of the foundations of why I became so ill. And I've worked on it. I have. But it still catches me off guard now and again. And I was at Salford Uni doing, like, filming with them because they're doing this, it's called Protect Ed. And I always wanted to say, it's like Protect Education. But I don't call it, I've been like, Protect Ed, why, what's wrong with him?
Poor Ed.
And that's how it started. I kept saying it wrong. I kept saying, like, Protective Ed.
Yeah.
It's like, you just talk about it. And I was like, why it's important to have mental health support at universities. Because I really think it is, you know, it's your first, you know, you're away from home. This workload goes through the roof, all that stuff.
Yeah, and I think there's, without, you know, wanting to be too serious on the podcast, I think there's been a few kind of high profile incidents recently of students, you know, committing suicide and things.
Absolutely.
I think it's become a big issue in universities now.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other thing, like, financial concerns and not knowing, you know, loneliness.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean, it used to be advertised as, oh, you'll make all these friends. I bloody didn't.
No, I didn't either. And
so we ended up living together.
Yeah.
I mean, it was perfect. But,
yeah. Yeah. And is there a lonelier place than watching lots of people all being friends together?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, don't feel too sorry for us. We were fine. But
yeah.
If I don't spark with somebody, I get a bit like, oh God, I just didn't really.
Yeah, I'm the same. It's not worth the effort when. No, do you know what I mean?
Like that's
when
how much you think of yourself, like you're just not worth my time, mate.
Yeah, it's just I think we're quite similar in that respect.
Yeah.
It's a good job we're worth the effort, isn't it, really? Or else we wouldn't be here.
Well, so I'm like, this is important and I want to work with them on that. And obviously they were paying me to do it because I finally started charging for things, you know, to do work. So I got there and what happened was I was late, which I hate being because I got lost, like a university campus, Salford, in particular, although it's the only one I have experience of, is like Hogwarts. The buildings move.
Yeah, staircases moving and everything. Yeah, there's a lot of buildings, isn't there? And it's not always clear where you're supposed to be going.
And I got lost, which so I hate, so I was late. And I'm always, that's another part of my perfectionism thing. I'd rather be earlier than late because I have this thing about people watching me arrive.
Yeah.
I like to be there early. Somewhere.
Well, even when we go to the pub, you're always there when
I
arrive.
Of course I am. I'm there like good 10 minutes beforehand.
But it's good because you always have a drink ready.
I do. So I was late. And then I arrived and there was an alarm going off in reception and I'm really triggered by noises and it wasn't stopping and it was really loud and I was like, oh, that's jarring. Fine. Went up to this room. It was bright and I don't go in front of the camera a lot. So I'm like, ooh, okay, this is a bit weird. Stood there and they were both really nice and they just started asking me questions and the first one was fine, you know, what's your name? I could just about answer that. But then they started asking me things about what do I think the most common problems from mental health at university and all that kind of stuff. And even though I could hear what she was asking clearly, she was making sense, the words were words, it wasn't registering.
Yeah, it wasn't reaching your brain.
It was like she was speaking a foreign language. And I've not had that for so long, that particular symptom. I normally get the kind of more aggressive physical ones, but I used to get it when I was a kid in maths class.
Mm.
And now I'm like, Christ, I wasn't thick, I was just panicking. Your teacher's shouting at you like, what's this? And I'm like, I'm sorry, love, you're talking Klingon.
Yeah. Is there an episode of, is it Friends? Where...
Oh, French.
Where is it? Basically, I don't know, I'm not very good with Friends, but I've seen a scene.
Seen a scene
where one of the characters is sort of thinking to himself, just say anything.
Just say anything. Yeah.
And I can imagine it's that kind of thing. It's like, because you want to do well and you want to answer the question, the more you think about it and the more you think about, I'm not answering the question,
mm-hmm.
the worse and worse it gets, like a vicious circle kind
Absolutely.
Of thing.
Absolutely. It was so bad. And I was like conscious that I'm like, can you just rephrase that? So she did. I'm like, sorry, just break it down again. And I actually went to freeze mode, which is unusual for me.
Mm.
It's normally flight. And I could feel my body going rigid. And I was right. The heart was going. I felt dizzy. And all I could think, and it was quite aggressively, was, you fucking idiot. How unprofessional do you look? These people are paying you to be here. And you look like a complete moron.
Mm.
And it was really, really brutal. And it was a kind of, looking back now, which I'll tell you at the end of the story, it's fine. But if somebody else was doing that, I wouldn't have thought that about them. I'd be like, ooh, they're struggling a bit.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that wouldn't be your first thought, would it?
I wouldn't be like, oh, you fucking idiot.
Yeah. And yet, that's the funny thing, isn't it? You know, you can say these things to yourself, and yet you'd never say it in a million years.
And I know all that, and I hate the whole, like, oh, I know it's simple, but it does kind of come back to that fundamental relationship you have with yourself. So I did the very emotionally mature thing and burst into tears. But like proper, they were there and I was like burst into this like, and then I had to sit down and I was like, I'm really sorry, but I have to go. I'm having an episode. I don't know why I said episode, but it's what I said. I have to go, I have to leave now. And they were obviously shocked.
Yeah.
But they were amazing. They didn't let me leave. Not by like physically barring the door. They just said, it was a man and a woman, and they said, you can absolutely go if you want to, but just so you know, you're not wasting our time. We've got this room booked for another 90 minutes. It's fine. You know, being on camera is not natural. We know your kind of background. And I was like, if there's anything we can do to make you more comfortable, then kind of let us know. And then the bloke showed me pictures of his sausage dog, Louis Longbottom, to distract me, which, as you know me, that was just epic. It was the best thing he could have done.
Was the man surnamed Longbottom?
No.
Oh, so he had like three names? Louis Longbottom and then a surname?
Yeah, most likely. But he was a
sausage
dog.
That's a cracky middle name, isn't it?
Louis Longbottom. It's very regal.
Hmm.
But, and then she wrote down my answer. I said, I need to write. I'm so sorry, my brain's gone now. That's it now for about an hour. I need to write down what I'm going to say. And she's like, okay, you do that and I will hold it up like a cue card.
Yeah.
And that the amazing thing that happened is as soon as I allowed myself to be vulnerable, the panic started retreating. It was just draining away. I could feel that tension going, and then the more compassionate side of myself came through that, you know, it's all right. It's okay. You know, you're very human. And this is nowhere near as embarrassing as you think it is.
Yeah. And that's, I suppose that bit comes from experience, doesn't it? You know, you've had stuff in the past and you know, I always look back and think, well, yeah, that was it. That was me making that into a big thing.
That's what it does, anxiety. It's great that catastrophizing situations and panic just jumps on it. They're like this amazing pair of like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. It's a huge spiral of stuff. But they were great. And it kind of, I really am making an effort to remind myself about being honest and vulnerable when I'm not feeling right, because there's been a lot of situations that I've gone into not feeling right and just sucking it up. She's like, no, it's okay. You're supposed to be a professional. You can't let people see you like this.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, I'm not all right. It doesn't mean that it's going to stop anything because I don't want it to. But to say, actually, I feel really anxious or I don't feel quite right.
And I think it's applicable to everyone. You know, I don't think you necessarily have to have a mental health condition to benefit from telling yourself that, you know, even if you're at work and, you know, we've probably all been there, you know, where you kind of take on more than you perhaps can manage.
Yeah.
And the, you know, the mentality is always, oh, just get on with it. You know, actually, like you say, the minute you realise it's a problem and are honest about it, you'd be amazed how quickly these things, you know, get better.
I think, I mean, Brené Brown talks a lot about having the courage to be vulnerable. And I think there's something in that, because it, like we were saying earlier about not being hardwired to want to do it.
Yeah.
And if you think of popular TV shows like Game of Thrones, which you don't watch.
Nope.
Or House of Cards, other stuff. It is about kind of appearing to be unflappable. I'm very flappable.
Yeah. It's fair to say you are fairly flappable.
I've made a career out of being flappable.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of finally, just to relate it back to panic attacks more a little bit, is panic thrives on, well, obviously stress, but also on having emotions repressed. That's what ultimately caused the volcano panic attack that I had. It was repressing how you're feeling. I always know when I'm not right. I'm like, no, I'll suppress it. Just ignore it. Have another drink. Eat that.
Did you say volcano panic attack?
Yeah.
What, you had a panic attack on a volcano? I'm confused.
No, in episode one, didn't we talk about the Richter scale?
Oh, yeah.
Because I wanted to call it something else.
Yes.
Is that what it's called? The Richter scale.
The Richter scale.
Did I call it the Richter scale?
No, that's what it is called.
That is what it's called. Yeah. Oh, God, forget it. Forget it. Yeah, so I was kind of sneakily relating it back to that.
Well done.
Thanks.
Obviously, I didn't listen to episode one.
Yeah, that's what happens. If you put pressure on it, you know, if you try and cover something up, eventually it's going to explode. And it's like a panic attack. So, sounds really simple, but if you're not feeling right, try not to ignore it every single time. Maybe, you know, two times out of five, you listen to your emotions.
It is amazing how simple that advice sounds.
Yeah.
But how many people, probably listening to this, or hopefully, will think, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That probably is a way to make myself feel better. Just be honest about it.
Do I want to give this presentation? I really don't. But I best do it because of X, you know, rather than say, I don't think I can handle this in the moment.
Yeah, and I think it's important not to get it mixed up with kind of nerves. You know, I think, you know, you're not, everything you do in life, you're not necessarily going to want to do, you know, it's not going to be your favourite thing to do.
No.
But I think, you know, yeah, when things start to become a real problem and a, you know, real challenge, just be honest about it, you know, where you can.
Finish. So just to finish, as I say, in each podcast, I'm going to try and kind of give a bit of advice or teach people a trick of how to handle a panic attack. And this week, last week was about accepting the attack. This week is actually trying to distract yourself a little bit. Not from the attack, because you can't do that. It's impossible. But what this bloke did at Salford for me, the whole, why don't you have a look at this? You know, when you showed me pictures of Louis. Distraction is a really powerful tool against panic and anxiety, because if you think about the brain being on one track, you know, one track mind usually means one thing, and this, it means terror. It's going straight like a runaway train being taken away. If we can just kind of get it off that track, even if it's only for a few minutes,
yeah,
it's really, really good to give the brain a bit of a respite. So something I often suggest is, you know, some of those horrendous apps on your phone, the games.
Yeah.
Tetris is my favourite.
The really addictive ones.
Maybe not them. I like Snake at the moment. How really? Retro is that?
That's incredibly retro.
But I get really obsessed when I turn it off.
Yeah, I'm a bit like that. I started playing Snake, actually, quite recently.
Have you got the Nokia front on the app?
Well, I had a Nokia phone, because I bought like an emergency phone.
What?
You know, for like, well, because we go camping and stuff these days for some reason, which I'm not quite sure why. Yeah, so I bought an emergency phone and
played Emergency Snake.
Well, yeah, all I've done with it, I've never used it in an emergency. I've just played Snake a lot.
Imagine if you run down the battery. Oh, for God's sake.
Well, with a Nokia, it'd take like 3 weeks, wouldn't it?
Well, so there's that. I mean, I really like old school, like parlor games too, such as go through the alphabet and with boys' names, like such as Adam, Ben, Carl, Derek.
You're good at this.
Thanks.
Ian with an E.
What?
Eon. What name am I thinking of? E-O-I-N.
That's the Irish one, isn't it?
Yeah. How do you pronounce that?
It's Ian, but it's like it's pronounced Eogan, isn't it?
Ah, right. That then.
I mean, I would have said
Engelbert.
That's the one. Egbert. That's one. Edward. Oh my God, I'm stupid.
We mentioned Ed earlier, didn't we?
Edward. Right. Yes, so that's a good one. Yeah, because you can play that alone or with somebody, and it makes your brain focus on something else.
Yeah.
Other than the present. Oh my God, I'm going to die. So let's think of boys' names. It's really useful to take the pressure off, and I would very much recommend that. I think that's about it.
Are we done?
I think so.
Episode 3 in the bag.
Pleasure as always, sir.
Pleasure.
All right.
Bye.
Place to have a party.